is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The Federal Reserve gathers. Is it doves? Is it hawks? Can't tell from here, so I welcome Elizabeth Peak, who writes a column for The Hill and a column for Fox News, much on Fox Business. Liz is sharp-eyed about doves and hawks. Ostensibly, they look different. However, Liz, a very good evening to you. The reason I am mentioning dovishness is because I read in the FT, this is the London paper observing the American market, that the Federal Reserve meeting in these next hours will be judged on the basis of, is it adequately dovish? That is, translation, the three cuts that have been mentioned. Is the Federal Reserve hesitating? Is it having doubts? Is there any reason to believe that the market rally so far is ahead of itself? In other words, we're not looking for hawks, actually. We're looking for doves who are plumped up and promising three cuts and maybe more. Good evening to you, Liz.
Good evening, John. I've got to sort of go back to my ornithology textbook, but I think I know where we are. Look, I mean, the market has rallied on this simple premise that we're going to have a soft landing and that the Federal Reserve is going to be cutting rates initially. Remember, it was supposed to start happening this month, but I think now the betting odds have moved towards upcoming meetings for rate hikes. But it is interesting that the futures markets are discounting six rate cuts now this year, while at the same time assuming there is no economic downturn. And you have to kind of take a step back and say, well, wait a minute, if there are no signs of recession, and indeed it is a very soft landing, meaning growth slows, but it doesn't go negative, why in the world would the Fed cut six times? That seems a little out of balance. And I think what might worry some investors at this point is, have investors become a little bit too optimistic about the course of interest rates? And also, is inflation really so subdued? Remember, it is not a 2%. I mean, yes, it's all trending in the right direction, but it is not a 2%. And I think some people are concerned that in trying to get to 2%, the Fed is just going to stand pat. I mean, we'll see. Right now, growth is holding up very well. The Atlanta Fed GDP number for the first quarter is 3%, which is pretty astonishing because this is the quarter things are supposed to start unraveling. So far, you know, unemployment claims are still very subdued. And we really have seen the consumer come through the end of last year extremely strong. I heard that credit card receipts are beginning to show some weakness in January. I haven't seen those numbers yet. But, you know, everyone's kind of now looking for what might go wrong because the market is pricing in not a whole lot going wrong.
Let's talk about what can go wrong. The FT also mentions the good news that the U.S. investor and the U.S. major investor, the equity funds, are adequately buffered from whatever goes wrong in China. Do you follow that logic that we've pulled the money back, we've turned away enough from China so that the collapse of Evergrande, the collapse of the property sector, the collapse of the stock market, whatever, is not going to hurt us? Do you believe that?
Well, I think most investors have indeed. We've seen money leave China for 2 years, and it was a good decision because actually their stock market on a 10-year basis is down. I mean, they really are suffering a tremendous sell-off. And when you have Chinese authorities, for example, banning short selling and racing around and telling investors to start pumping money into the market, et cetera, which is what they're doing, they're trying to strong arm a market. You can't really do that. And I think it just signals just how weak the economy is. And, you know, there are really profound reasons for that. Demographic problems, the problem that Xi Jinping wants to control everything. And has made some really tremendous blunders in trying to do that. But the good news from China is that it has kept a lid on commodity prices in the West. I mean, look at what's happening with oil markets. I think it's pretty astonishing that with a war going on in the Middle East, oil prices are still quite contained. You know, West Texas crude is under $80 still. And I would not have expected that. And I think the answer is very simply that China demand coming out of China is very low. And I think I don't think it'll persist. I think we're going to see some inflation in oil prices over the next few months. Inventories are very low. I think demand is going to continue to increase. And if OPEC holds the line, and particularly if the United States becomes more insistent on restricting Iran's exports, I think oil prices will go up. I frankly secretly think that Joe Biden has purposefully not maintained sanctions on Iranian oil exports, simply because politically nothing hurts him worse than rising gasoline prices. But putting that aside, because it's a horrible political thought, the truth is that oil is definitely an X factor. It always is. But China is really helping out the world in terms of not driving that price higher right now. So in terms of investments, yeah, I think a lot of people got out of China, not entirely, and there will be some fallout. But really what China is doing is keeping a lid on commodities prices broadly because the economy is so weak.
Our economy, we've seen a genuine recession in housing. Is there any indication that that is coming out of it, that it has bottomed?
Yeah, you've seen optimism in home builders. You've seen housing starts go up. I think housing will right itself. Mortgage rates have come down enough that the market has seen some pickup in mortgage applications. I actually haven't looked at those numbers, but I've seen the result of that being a little bit of a stirring of interest in the housing market. And I think that the housing has hit bottom. But again, it's all about interest rates and mortgage rates coming down. Prices have not come down that much, as you know. They have receded some, but not as much as you might have expected, given the dearth of buyers. But I think that market is on its way to recovery.
And the jobs are holding up, and the Federal Reserve, at least my reading of headlines, is no longer warning us that if jobs don't weaken, we're not going to cut. Have they stopped that talk entirely? I've not seen a headline like that for a month.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I think it's because, look, the Fed is very concerned that they take their foot off the brake too early, and then inflation begins to come back for whatever reason. And, you know, the 1970s really kind of delivered a pretty harsh message about getting it wrong, getting it too, you know, becoming too lax too early. And I think they're worried about that. It's all about the messaging. This meeting is taking place this week. No one expects, I don't think very many people expect a rate cut at this point, but it's all about what they have to say about the future. You know, there was this big pivot in the fall where Jay Powell went from saying, we're not even looking at rate cuts to, well, yes, you know, this is a possibility and we're factoring in three. We're not factoring in six. So I do think that the market's a little bit ahead of itself in terms of expectations. We will see what they have to say about that.
I've saved the bull phase for the last moment here. The Magnificent Seven, five of them are reporting this week. They are the market. They are the growth.
They are.
For those who have not been introduced to that wonderful cowboy movie, I recommend it. Yul Brynner is fabulous. Steve McQueen is even better. However, the Mag 7 of the 21st century, NVIDIA, of course, which is skyrocketing, Meta, that's the old Facebook, Amazon delivering to your door, Microsoft, a $3 trillion company, Apple with the high-end consumer, Alphabet for advertising, and then, of course, Tesla. It's anything you want it to be, Liz. There's no reason to be rational about the Tesla price. So the Mag 7 are the market. That didn't turn out well with the stocks of the 20th century when you could name 50 stocks you must buy. Is this going to have a happy ending, or are we looking for another bubble?
The Nifty 50, you're dating yourself, John. It also didn't turn out well in the dot-com bubble. Look, I think this market's too narrow. It's too easy to go into those Magnificent Seven stocks if you want to be invested in equities, and that's what people have chosen to do. Because, again, let's face it, the market overall The PE on the market overall is higher than its historical average. And, you know, earnings have been basically flattish for about six quarters. So it has not been a super duper time for the overall earning power of the market. So either you have to see economic growth really stimulated and begin to come through with earnings gains, or you're going to have some sell-off because all of the market gains just about have been in those seven stocks so far this year. And let's see how the earnings turn out. It's just one of those things where, boy, oh boy, if they don't hit the targets, John, you're going to have some pretty miserable days ahead.
Behind these seven is this magic formula called artificial intelligence, AI. That's the sales pitch I hear all the time. Is it real? Nobody can tell. I keep reading about it, and then I test it out. The other day I put in Peter Laurie, Sydney Greenstreet, just that. I didn't even put a question mark in. And it came back with the genuine facts about how they worked together in the 1940s in Hollywood. I was impressed. It anticipated without me having to ask. Now, that's a far cry from early days of AI when I would put in something like that and it would make a story up. It didn't do that this time. But is it practical? It's magical, but is it practical? What do you hear, Liz?
Well, I think it is quickly evolving into practical. Right now there's so much hype and there's so many companies diving in. It's a little hard to separate the wheat from the chaff and really figure out what is real. IBM came through with results that reflected actual success in AI and progress in that. And I think that's what people are going to be looking for. Look, it is a tremendous breakthrough, which is going to impact all industries. I mean, think of the medical advances that we can have with easy manipulation of metadata and different kinds of diagnostic approaches, et cetera. Medicine is one area where there's just going to be gigantic improvements. There are going to be a lot of industries that are not so benefited as they are streamlined, if you will, by AI. A lot of jobs are going to be lost. I do believe that. But right now, it's sort of the darling new technology. I think it is quite exciting because of the advantages it can bring to actual companies. And we're beginning to see enough of it, John, that it's not just mythical at this point.
Elizabeth Peake, she's a columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox Business and Fox News. We're turning to energy next, liquefied natural gas, and a puzzle about the political life of President Biden. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Donahoe.